This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is back with us this week, and we have the one, the only Greg Bishop. Accept no substitutes.
Don't accept any substitutes.
Yeah.
We are no substitutes.
Right.
Something like that. Bunch of things to talk about on this episode, and I wanted to dive right in. Because I got a book, Chris got one too, I don't know about you, Greg. Got a copy of a book from, I guess, a decent-sized publisher called New Page Books. They've published books from Kevin Randall and others. And I was thinking here, it's not 2017. Maybe this book came out a few years ago, and they just republished it, and then I looked at the subtitle. The book is called Cover-Up at Roswell, Exposing the 70-Year Conspiracy to Suppress the Truth, from Donald R. Schmidt. Now, if it wasn't for the 70-year thing, I would have thought this book would have come out a few years ago. Maybe he was holding it, you know, and just waiting. But one thing he didn't do, at least according to the index, he did not mention the Roswell slides. Maybe it's in the book somewhere. I haven't had a chance to read it. I'm debating whether I should. Did you get a copy, Chris?
Nope.
He doesn't like you. Oh, well. Greg?
Oh, hell no. No, and I wouldn't read it anyway because I don't care.
Me neither. I'm having a hard enough time bringing myself to read Nick's book when it arrives. I never did get one.
I read it. I enjoyed it. I had him on my show, and I think you guys did too. And I'm going to use that as the go-to right now until I hear something better, Nick's explanation.
Yeah, I do like it. It has a ring to it. Of course, Joseph Farrell also is in the hidden technology camp too. And, of course, he thinks that the Germans flew them up from South America or maybe Mexico just to scare the 501st. The Defense Industrial Security Council, DISC, at White Sands, headed by Wernher von Braun. I just love that theory as well. But no wonder the U.S. government would be so freaked out. Think about it. If all of a sudden these man-made saucers turned up and we had some knowledge in the intervening 2 years since the end of World War II, we had some knowledge of the Nazi saucer experimentation, the Hunterbrows and the other craft, and then to have one actually possibly crash, although the material doesn't quite fit the nuts and bolts UFO scenario. Most people who are into Roswell always forget to mention that. It's like, what UFOs fly in UFO Mylar balloons or something. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, I digress.
Well, I kind of think here it's more and more obvious. Roswell is a digression.
Yeah, well, it is a digression. And I think Roswell, to me, is like what the Kennedy assassination has been for many years. It's going to be almost impossible to ever figure out exactly what happened, especially, and in this case with Roswell, because it's so wrapped up in belief systems and what people want to be and not as an open mind as to what possibly happened. And as Nick pointed out, I think probably on your show and definitely on mine, is that Roswell has been kind of staked by UFO study as kind of their holy grail or whatever, and that if it's proven to be completely mundane, where does that leave ufology? It makes them look very bad. So they don't want that legend messed with. I don't know what happened in 1947 in Roswell. I've gotten to the point where I kind of agree with Nick that it might have been some kind of secret project because that ticks more boxes than the alien explanation to me. I'm willing to be pulled back into the alien explanation, but for right now, it's just it's so, like I said, so wrapped up in belief. I don't know if we'll ever have an answer on it.
Well, it seems to me as if Donald Schmidt was living in an alternate reality. Instead of Earth 38, he's on Earth 2. And being that he's on Earth 2, he doesn't realize that Nick wrote a book in 2005 and this year, and last year we had Roswell in the 21st Century from Kevin Randall. And if he was fully aware of those two books, those three books, rather, if he was fully aware of those three books, he would not have written his, or maybe he still would rather live in a bubble.
Right.
Well, you know, he knows what side the old Roswell bakery has buttered the bread, so, you know, he's going to go with it.
But there is no more bakery, is there?
Sure there is. The very topic has become such a powerful meme within the culture that, you know, the meme, because it is so big and it's gobbled up so much, you know, underneath it, kind of sub-memes, that it constantly has a need to be fed. So you're going to have individuals electing themselves to feed the Roswell meme, along, you know, with the obvious financial rewards that the town reaps from the association. I mean, it's like a virus. I've said this many times on the show. The closer you get to Roswell when you're traveling there, you start to see the alien gray face meme. It really starts in earnest about 100 miles out. And by the time you get, you know, 50 miles away, it's almost, you know, predominant in any gas station, any place that you stop. And then as you get even closer to Roswell, that alien face meme just is all pervasive. I mean, it takes over. And it's like a virus spreading out from Roswell in terms of cultural belief. And so that belief system is feeding this meme. And so you have people like, you know, Tom Carey, Donald Schmidt, Kevin Randall, you know, lectures by, you know, any number of people, Nick included, that keep that ferment of novelty and change happening so that myth can keep trundling down, you know, trudging down the dusty country road like a big sauropod.
Yeah. Well, I think what Nick's trying to do, and Kevin to some extent, and even Bill Moore, actually, who has disavowed any alien explanation for it in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, is they're trying to say, look, I think we should take a really serious look at what this has grown into, this mythology has become, and how we might be fooling ourselves, and to keep an open mind. I'm actually speaking at Roswell this year, so I'm not going to put down the town of Roswell. What I'm talking about is the belief system that happens to have grown up around it, and how that's, you know, a belief system is unassailable. You just, if somebody has a belief in something, there is no way you're going to change their mind about it.
Well,
so
yeah,
I think that's
like
what's going on here.
It's like Hiawatha trying to, you know, getting a tour of the USS Ronald Reagan and taking his canoe paddle out and trying to enact some sort of port side turn. It's just not going to happen. It's such a behemoth that it doesn't matter whether Nick or Kevin, the meme has so much inertia and it's the mass is just so incredible that it's impossible to stir that meme in a new direction. It is. The aliens have already been here, and the government knows that is the linchpin to so many super memes in this whole subject area. And, you know, I'm fascinated by watching people like Kevin and Nick and Joseph Farrell come up with alternative ways to look at the what little we actually really know. And, you know, trying to come up with other explanations, other spin, other, you know, documentation and other theories and hypotheses to explain the event. So, hey, I'm all for it. I just love surfing along, watching the meme propagation. Speaking of meme propagation, anybody hear about Jacques Vallée at Conflict in the Desert? I just heard a few little things here and there, but Greg, have you heard anything? How he went over there?
Yeah, because I was there.
Oh, cool.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's frame this in a better way, and let's start with the next segment, where Greg Bishop will tell us what happened at Conflict or Chaos in the Desert. Of course, those of you who are members of Paracast Plus heard an on-the-site report from Walter Bosley, who was also there. So if you want to know more about that episode, go to plus.theparacast.com to sign up for After the Paracast, and we'll tell you more about our premium service soon. We're catching up here with our old buddy Greg Bishop. We're just sitting around watching the wheels go by. with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you can stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Greg Bishop, you were at Crazy People in the Desert, where, surprisingly enough, Jacques Vallée gave a speech. Tell us more.
When did Walter give you his report?
Let's see. We did the show.
He was there every day.
Yeah, we did it on a Friday. We did it Friday afternoon that week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the first day. I think it was a Thursday, and it went into Monday, which is kind of weird. I guess Some people come out there and just spend the whole time.
Sounds exhausting to me.
Yeah, well, maybe it is. I don't know, but especially since it was all outside. This year they actually got smart and they built a huge shade area over where this main stage is. So the people, there were continuous like presentations and speeches going on in this main stage.
Yeah, they had that last year too. What was the temperature like?
It was totally bearable. It was like in the probably in the low to mid 80s at the very most.
Oh man, last year it was 104 to 106.
Yeah, well, because somebody made the decision to have it on in like June or something. Yeah. Which I don't know what thinking went into that. It starts getting ridiculous around. Yeah, around now it starts getting ridiculous. So they actually got it the last couple of weekends here before it gets really hot. Another weird thing about where they had it, the Institute of Mental Physics, was begun by a man named, I can't remember his real name, but his spiritual name was Ding Li Mai. I don't know where he got that name, but he had a group called the Mental Physics, you know, the study of mental physics. And I guess he was some sort of a heir to some fortune, so he was able to do this. And he had this place built. He had Frank Lloyd Wright's son design all the buildings, so they're really cool looking. I used to go out there in the 90s with my friends to just hang out there. There was nobody there. Now it's, you know, gotten this new life as the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, and even more, I guess, as the Contact in the Desert thing happens. Anyway, I just went one day on Sunday because I had stuff to do the other days, and I realized that Valet, which is the main reason I went out there. I mean, I saw Walter, Olaf Phillips, a few other people that I hadn't seen in a while. I went out there on Sunday just in the morning. I got there an hour before Valet's workshop talk where you have to pay extra. So I paid the extra. Strangely enough, none of the workshops were sold out. All of them still. I said, you know, which ones are sold out? And they said none. So I was able to buy a ticket to his lecture, you know, basically 20 minutes before it started. The lecture was called UFO Research for Those Who Mean It. There were probably 40 people there, and which was about a third of the room. That was it looked like about a third of the chairs were filled. Halfway through the talk, he said, I think people are getting restless. Let's take a break. I think about a third of the people left at that point.
Oh, boy. Now, I have a fast question before we go on. Did you happen to catch how many people might have shown up at the other workshops?
I didn't go to any other workshops because I didn't care to see them. So I don't know. I have no idea. One was sold out. I think it was J.J. Hertak or whatever about Giant Rock, something like that. They were doing they might have been visiting Giant Rock, like taking a group out there or something. I've been going to Giant Rock since 1989, I think. Pieces of the Come On In, the little place that Van Tassel built were still there, like the floor was still there. It's completely disappeared now. All gone. No trace of it whatsoever. Apparently somebody told me somebody's trying to dig under the rock again. And excavate the rooms that were underneath, and they've dug in enough that you can actually go in there, which is stupid because snakes and stuff live in there. I don't know why anybody would be wandering in there. Yeah, I don't know if how full the other workshops were. There were a lot of people there. I don't know if there were, you know, the same attendance as before, but every time I walked by that main stage, there were hundreds. There's probably 300-400 people in lawn chairs and stuff sitting there. Because they don't have any seating, so you have to bring your own, you know, chairs.
But how much extra did it cost for a workshop?
For Valet's was $25.
He's certainly worth $25.
I paid because one, I wanted to go, and two, I hope he gets some of that money. I don't know if he needs it, but it certainly I hope some of the money went to him for doing this workshop. Because how often does Valet show up at anything? He showed up at UFO International Congress 2 years ago. Chris and I were there. You came too, Gene.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
He didn't give a presentation, though. He just answered a few questions and made a couple of statements.
Yeah.
This is the first full-blown, bona fide, true believer UFO conference he's done since 88.
Yeah. I think what he's trying to do is basically give people one more, like, look, this is how I do things. This is how I've been doing things for years. Please, you know, listen to me. And if you can, you know, if you can get something out of this, maybe we can save part of this weird thing that's called ufology. I think that's, you know, I think that's the reason he was out there. He's just kind of like, he's trying to give people one more push into, you know, these are my ideas. Please consider them.
Well, we'll consider any creative thinking. I mean, yeah. Let's get real.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, what the lecture was, the UFO study for those who mean it, what he did was, you know, it wasn't the flash and the fun stories and all that everybody else was doing, I would assume. What his lecture was, look, here are four UFO cases. None of them are famous or anything like that. He had two from history, obviously, because he's worked on that book with Chris Aubeck, Wonders in the Sky. And he had two more modern ones, both from France. And the two older ones, I can't remember what they were, but one was from like the 17th century and one was from the 19th or 18th century. And they actually went back and checked the records, the people involved, and found out that in fact, one of them was so covered up with the politics of the time and broadsides and people writing for very different reasons that it was basically mostly made up. The other one, a few of the people they found didn't even exist. So he said, look, these two are just, there's nothing you can get from these. It's basically based on rumor and people repeating things over and over again till they think it's true. The third one had to do with, and this was fascinating. If I can, do you mind if I describe? I'll take less than a minute.
Hey, take whatever time is necessary.
The third case he was talking about happened in France. I can't remember when he said, probably, I think in the 70s or 80s. He said, here's what happened. There were a few people in this village in France somewhere about 1 a.m. They saw a really bright light. And there was there were about 4 or 5 witnesses. All the power went off in the town. I guess I'm going to run out of time here in a little bit. We'll continue on the other side. But two people were in a car. They said they saw this thing following them. A woman, this old couple's daughter, she was visiting, had a radio. She heard weird sounds on the radio. And after the incident was over, the UFO was hanging over this fish pond where they were growing fish as a business, and all the fish in the pond died.
Ooh, that's a good point to leave off.
Yeah. Yep.
Greg Bishop, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in.
Da Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Yesterday, I got a call from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. If you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, call now for a free and confidential tax debt analysis. Call Coast One now for a free consultation at 800-643-4661 now. 800-643-4661. That's 800-643-4661.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas.
When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, that's somebody we picked up on the street to do that announcement. I don't know who it was. So, Greg, before we continue with other stuff, please continue this fascinating story from Jacques Vallée.
Okay, so he said the gendarmerie went out there, and he said they have very strict protocols about how they talk to people about these things and the information they get. So they talked to all the witnesses. They took down all their statements. And I think maybe JPON, the French part of their military that actually investigates UFO reports, they went out and talked to all the witnesses, got all their statements, found out that these fish had died. There were three ponds there, three fish-growing ponds. The middle pond was where this thing was hovering. And then all the witnesses said, or at least the closer ones said, they saw fiery blobs of light or fire dropping out of the UFO towards the pond. So they did talked to all the people, got all their statements. You know, sounded like something really strange had happened. Everybody was kind of frightened. They thought something very strange had happened. And the one clue they had was all the fish in the one pond had died. So they took one of the fish to a lab and figured out that the fish had been poisoned. Not zapped with electricity, not hit with a ray. They had been poisoned by something.
That's pretty unusual.
Yeah. They did some more searching. They went to the power company. There is a very carrying a lot of power, high tension wire, or at least power line, going over that pond. What they found out was that there was a short in that power line, and that the glowing white that everybody saw, that big glowing white light, was the arc happening while the line was shorting out. The middle of the line was made with steel, and it was a very old power line, encased in aluminum. The aluminum had been melting and falling into the pond. That's what those little pieces of light shooting out, you know, falling out of the bottom of the object was. So those little pieces of, you know, those pieces of molten aluminum had fallen into the pond, and they were giving off like aluminum oxide. It went out into the water and killed the fish. So he's what he said was, look, after all that, because he said, this sounds like a great case, doesn't it? And everybody's kind of nodding. He said, well, it turned out it was a short in the power line. And all the things that people said about it were basically things that they thought because they thought something really weird was going on. He said, so that takes care of that case. The final case, he said, he had actually investigated himself, which is in his area of France, I think Pontoise, where he grew up. And so he said, I know the people here, and I know how they talk, and I know what they're like and all that, so it's easy for me to go out and talk to them. At a hunting lodge, he said, this large object, I think sometime in the 90s, had shown up at 5 in the morning, hovered over this person's car. All kinds of weird lights were falling out of it, like sparkly lights onto the ground and disappearing. There were 4 witnesses. He found 2 or 3 more, basically said the same story, except one who said that he saw an airliner flying over the hunting lodge, which is, he said, is next to impossible because it would have crashed at that level. And it's not on anybody's, final approach or anything like that. Anyway, he said, look, I'm still looking at this case. I don't know if there's an explanation for it, but what he wanted to leave everybody with was, if you're going to do serious research, talk to people, find more witnesses, get everything you can out of them. Do not front load them with any kind of information that you think should be relevant. Just let them talk and check out everything before you make any kind of a conclusion, even if it's no conclusion. That was his basic message to everyone.
And it went out to 40 people.
Yeah.
Until the break when, what, a third of the people left?
Yeah, I don't quote me specifically strictly on that, but I kind of looked around me after the break, and I did notice, as far as I could tell, that there were less people there. Probably up to a third had left. So there were probably, 30 people left or 20 when he gave the last part of his talk. And I was thinking, this is Jacques Vallée talking. Where did you people go?
Yeah, well, you stay kind of hidden and apart from the field for almost 40 years, and that's what happens.
Speaking of appearing, we are working on the possibility of having Jacques Vallée return to the Paracast later this year. That's in the cards. So let's see what happens. And maybe we'll bring you back, Greg, for that one. There are a lot of things to talk to him about. And I find it so sad in the UFO field that someone like that, someone that influential, is just shunted aside to some kind of workshop, and very few people care. I think that's almost insulting.
He might have wanted it that way. Well, I kind of think that – I don't think he really cares whether he's famous or not. What he cares about is that his message gets out to people who will do something about it.
Right, right. Hiawatha with the paddle on the SS Reagan.
Yeah, exactly. I've gotten to the point where it's like people are saying we've got to save the field, and it's like, no, we don't. We have to get smart people who are interested in doing good work to do this work without a TV show sitting there, without some big book deal, without a movie deal, without just doing the damn work quietly and methodically and not even scientifically, in whatever method works that brings a result. Get a result and bring it back to us and see if we can do it too. I think that's how things – and a lot of it, you have to recognize that anything that happens to people is in regards to the phenomenon is a very individual thing. So everybody's going to have their individual reaction to it, and we have to realize that. That's not a scientific way to go about it. Science can be used, but it has to be alongside, I think, other methods.
Focusing on the experience as much as the event and the experiencer. Just want to bring up a couple of things which may be worthy of comment, looking at where the field is going. So we have Robert Zemeckis producing a new sci-fi drama based on Project Blue Book of the 50s and 60s. And the lead character will be based on Dr. J. Allen Hynek. You've heard this?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? I have, but I didn't look into it.
I've heard about it, too, just the last couple of days. I see that History Channel, I think, has ordered up a whole bunch of shows.
Now, this will be fiction. No one's pretending it's going to be fact. It's not going to be like Hangar One, which is fiction masquerading as fact. It'll be a sci-fi drama, which means they can take dramatic liberties. And I hope that Dr. Hynek's family is being well compensated for the rights to use his persona.
Yeah. It's like the last series based on Blue Book was Project UFO, produced by Jack Webb, I believe, in the 70s sometime.
It lasted a single season, and they tried to bring... Or maybe two seasons.
More than a season.
Maybe two seasons. I'll look it up. Project UFO. And the thing I recall about it is, obviously, it had that breezy clip dialogue style of Jack Webb. But it seemed as if they solved every case. That it was presented from the skeptic's point of view. Oh, this is definitely another case that didn't survive. I'm looking here. The show was on 1978 and 79. There were two seasons, and I want to see how many episodes they did in the second season. It looks like 13 episodes in the second season, and in the first season they did 13. So it was kind of one of these brief series. So it's the equivalent of a little more than one season that spanned two seasons. There you go.
It was called Project. I loved that show when I was a kid.
Well, as I said, I thought they were always taking a skeptical approach. But it was in keeping. Was in keeping very much with the style of Jack Webb, though.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to that in a moment, and Greg's further observations. Maybe it's on Netflix. I don't know. We want to remind you again that we have After the Paracast, which is the other radio show we do. It's available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. And we have lots of interesting things there, like a recent episode featured Monty Shriver, a retired gentleman from Aztec, Mexico, who grew up when this alleged UFO crash landed. And you know what he remembers? What his friends at the class reunion remembered? Nothing. Plus.theparacast.com. We give you a commercial-free version of the show and more. Got Greg Bishop, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features. And most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayley Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, Greg, before we went on that Project UFO TV show from the 70s, Greg, you said that you think maybe there were one or more episodes where they took a positive view of the case?
I don't know about positive, but from my memory, which is maybe wrong, there were at least a couple of them I remember seeing where they never really solved it. Like, this is one of the unsolved ones. But yeah, Jack Webb, just the facts. So who knows? Because he sincerely was interested in the subject. There is, strangely enough, I was doing some research once, and I went to UCLA, one of the UCLA libraries here in Los Angeles. And there's a whole section of the Jack Webb collection of UFO books. It takes up, there's probably a few hundred in it. So, which is fascinating to me. I didn't know he was so interested in it. He's because one of those Jackie Gleason celebrities that are really into the subject. So that's part of the Jack Webb that people don't know about.
Right, but he died young. He was like 49 years old. And he died
smoking.
Of a heart attack. Smoking, is that what did it?
Well, probably. I mean, he was a heavy smoker, just like a lot of people then. But Rod Serling, John Wayne, all those people.
Right. So it seemed like he had a long way to go. Of course, he made all his money and he did all his work. Actually, he was older than that. I'll tell you that in a moment. He did his major work, of course, with Dragnet. And
right. He
suffered from acute asthma, a childhood problem. So smoking didn't help. And actually, he was older than I thought. He died at the age of 62 in 1982.
Right.
So there you go. John Randolph Webb.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, too. Wow, he was born in Santa Monica. Good for him. And he's buried in Forest Lawn. I actually think I've seen his grave there when I've been to Forest Lawn once or twice. I've seen his grave there. Sure. Oh, he was married to Julie London. Good for him.
He had 6,000 jazz albums in his private collection and was a close friend of Gene Roddenberry.
That makes sense.
Jack Webb. Speaking of figures, public figures, there's a big story that's been out the last few weeks. An interview with Bob Bigelow saying basically that he's absolutely convinced UFOs are alien. And of course, that story after it was out for few days.
I don't know if he said that, Gene.
Well, that's the actual quote, absolutely convinced.
No, he said he's absolutely convinced that they're here.
Do you believe in aliens? I'm absolutely convinced that's all there is to it. Do you also believe that UFOs have come to Earth? There has been and is an existing presence, an ET presence, and I spent millions and millions and millions. I probably spent more as an individual than anybody else in the United States has ever spent on the subject. Is it risky for you to say in public that you believe in UFOs and aliens? I don't give a damn. I don't care. That's quoting from the 60 Minutes interview.
Okay. I grovel corrected.
That's the first time in 7 years. I want to soak this up.
I think the important point to be made here is that he thinks they're here.
Yes, very much so.
If you look at that quote carefully, it's almost like he's saying that they're alongside us, that they're the other tenants in the building that most people aren't aware of. That's the impression I get, but then that's what I'm probably wanting to see.
No, you know what he actually said, and I don't know if Gene actually repeated this. He said, and I think maybe you did, he said, they're here right under our noses.
Exactly.
Nobody has said anything about that. They just said, why isn't he telling us what he knows? Why isn't he releasing all this information? Why isn't he, how come he doesn't share? That I don't think that's the point, and we can get into that, too.
Greg, thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly the sentence that I was referring to.
Okay, here's the quote right here from Lara Logan asks, you can find it here. Where exactly? It's just like right under people's noses. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I think he's saying that because, as Chris said, it's just a presence that's been with us forever. Either that or, as other people have suggested, whatever this other intelligence is, which I think there is, it's not bound by time or space, so it's accessible to anybody all the time, depending on what's going on or what conditions you're in or whatever. And he would know.
Yeah, just careful what you wish for.
Yeah. And the other point I made is a couple, I try not to get too much into it with people online because my new slogan, which is going to be on the t-shirts I make, is do not engage. I think the main point here when people are saying, why doesn't he tell us and why doesn't he admit and why doesn't he share this information? I guess he could and it might help. But I think from his point of view, and he said this in the interview, I've spent millions of dollars. He's got access to people, information, and most importantly, experiences that we do not. It's like saying to somebody, why do you believe in UFOs? And if they've seen one or had a close encounter, how can they explain that to you except if you've gone through it yourself? They can't really. If I had a gazillion dollars and all the resources and all that, and most importantly, the belief system that he has and the conviction that that's what's going on, I'd find that out too. If I'm giving people $2 gazillion to find out, if my hunches are correct, if they tell me they're not, I don't want to hear that, do I? I want to hear from people that are reinforcing that what I kind of think is that there's aliens coming here from somewhere. He said in the show that his grandmother and his grandfather had a close encounter, I guess, with some craft on a highway out near Vegas. He's had things that he wouldn't get into, and he probably had stuff go on at Skinwalker where he was standing right there every time.
Yeah.
You can't explain that to somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about. So I don't know, a little bit of arrogance, but it's also kind of like I completely believe these things. They make total sense to me, and there's almost no way I could explain it to you unless you'd gone through what I've gone through. But he's not going to say all that stuff. There's not enough time, and people wouldn't understand.
Right. Well, one thing if I ever interviewed him, I want to know what his motivations were, and I could probably predict that he would say, he's looking for propulsion diagnostic science so that he can come up with a way to duplicate this inertial propulsion. He's really looking for propulsion diagnostic information that he can commercialize. That's very important. He's a businessman. He wants to come up with a way to scoot objects around in our atmosphere effortlessly. I mean, that's a goal. And the other goal is his deep interest, almost obsession with the paranormal and afterlife studies. So that's why I think his relationship with John Alexander was quite a close one and probably a long-standing relationship because John Alexander has a PhD in thanatology, the study of life after death, basically, in the study of death. And so he lost his son, and that was a very traumatic thing for him from what I've heard. And personally, he is obsessed with finding a way to actually communicate with his son.
I did not know that part of his story, but thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, not many people do know. And you know, when I look at someone like a Bigelow, who is a complete outsider, standalone individual, I mean, you know, the only person even remotely like him in my estimation would have been Lawrence Rockefeller. But one thing you got to say about Bigelow, he puts his money where his interests are, and he's not afraid of any sort of, blowback or any sort of, being painted with the little green alien brush. Not at all. I mean, he proudly wears it on his big hanger with the stylized kind of high def, high contrast image of an alien, gray head, as part of the Bigelow Aerospace logo. So, the guy really is an iconoclast. You've got to really appreciate the fact that he is really, truly putting his money where his mouth is. I just wish he would be a little bit more forthcoming with some of the data that he's been able to gather.
I understand where he's coming from. I feel for everybody, and I agree with him. Yeah, release some of this data. But I also don't feel like the condemnation, like, you selfish bastard, why don't you blah, blah, blah. No, I mean, I've
it's his. He bought it.
It's his. It'd be nice if he could share it. But I'm trying to, get into his headspace by, why would he say these things? What was his motivation for saying these things? And as I've just described, I think that's what's going on with him. And it points up that, and I made this point, I think Susan St. Clair, Demeter St. Clair, put something up on her Facebook recently within the last couple hours. And I said, look, he's got all these money and resources, and he's gone out and tried to find out for himself. We've got to do it, too, with our own, with the resources available to us.
We've got more to come about Robert Bigelow and lots more things with Greg, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Ha, 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 ha.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.